Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
One of the big stories that Utah's Morning News has been tackling all morning long is hoax threats down in Little Payson, Utah. Dave, you and I were just down there a couple of weeks ago for the return of Kevin Bacon and the 40th anniversary of Footloose at Payson High. Well, apparently this middle school has been a revolving door of evacuations down there because of these hoax bomb threats.
And that's my go-to. Whenever I hear any kind of evacuation, I think, oh, it's all a hoax. In fact, we had that active shooter situation hoax that was happening down at Southern Utah University.
Oh, that's right.
We were covering it all morning long.
That's
we were
right.
giving like second-to-second updates. Hoax. Unbelievable.
But our coverage was great.
The coverage, we were all over the hoax, though. We were all over the hoax. Oh, my goodness. It's 9:07. It's time for the launch.
Sequence engaged.
Now, the launch is brought to you by Master Electrical Services, home of the upfront pricing guarantee. And here are the three things that Debbie wants you to know.
Countdown. Three.
Wall Street Journal is reporting that Marjorie Taylor Greene says she's going to force a vote next week on ousting Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. She's been hot. Not her himself. But she's been hot after Johnson to get him out as speaker for weeks.
This is basically a warning, and it's time for us to go through the process,
The Democrats
that will
just came out and said they're going to come through and save him.
Something they could have done for Kevin McCarthy, they absolutely refused. There was blood feuds for Kevin McCarthy, and Democrats are like, you want to kick him out? Just fine. But why are they standing up for Mike Johnson?
Countdown to...
If you're looking for an affordable house to buy, you're going to have to move. But I refuse to move to one of these six cities that's on the... Fox Business posted this earlier today, Dave. It's on the list. There's six cities in the entire nation. Not one of them is in Utah. Birmingham is one of the most affordable places to live.
Roll Tide.
What are the other five? And would you dare live in any of these cities across America just to afford a house? We're going in depth in the 10 o'clock hour.
Trust me, there's places in Utah you can afford if you go far enough and sagebrushy enough. We're just, our sagebrush level tolerance is very, very low. There's affordable housing depth. It's called the West Desert.
Launch countdown one.
Top of the show today, rinse, repeat, evacuate. Rinse, repeat, evacuate. Utah Middle School, being manipulated by a series of hoax bomb threats, leads to the typical scene, Dave, of kids being hurried from the school building and intense police searches of the building. And I'm sure that the guy who's made the threat sitting back watching the news coverage and laughing. But I can certainly see where the school and parents are getting, like, uber frustrated with this.
It's just frustrating. I just don't understand. I don't get it. I really just can't wrap my head around the world that we live in right now.
It's the boy who cries wolf. Mm. Like, how many times is this going to happen? And then you just ignore it. And then you're completely and totally unprepared if something really does happen.
Dave and Dejanovic.
The launch.
Commence.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Dave and Dejanovic.
Special coverage of the top local story.
But this story has Dave and I contemplating and arguing about this idea of ignoring or evacuating. And we'll get into that in about 10 minutes. And we're also going to be taking your live phone calls on this. Like, what would you want your kids' school to do? But let's first set the scene. The three-peat, the trifecta of fake bomb threats at one school in Utah. It's a middle school. In how many weeks? The school district breaks it down for us.
Over the last 2.5 weeks has received three separate bomb threats.
And I guarantee you, every time something like this happens, you know, the heart starts racing. And you're like, oh, this is probably just a hoax. This is a joke. But we have to go through it because what if? What if? I wonder if we're scurrying kids out and we're going emergency all the time, is there more trauma going on? Are we panicking kids and traumatizing them more by throwing up the alarm bells every 2 seconds than if we were just maybe had a more reasonable approach toward it and say, is this a real threat? Or does someone just saying bomb in an airport, is that enough to get you hauled away?
This is happening in Payson, Utah. You know, the home of Footloose. We were just there at Payson High a couple of weeks ago celebrating the return of Footloose star Kevin Bacon. And now Mount Nebo Middle School has become a revolving door of evacuations for the kids there. So, but imagine you're that parent, you're getting that notification again, right? Those notifications come to your phone. Maybe your kid gives you a text and like, guess what? It's happening again. A town of 22,000, this is the biggest thing going on there, right? I mean, you feel like your kids in the school district is being very well manipulated by some phantom faux bomb threat.
It's just frustrating. I just don't understand. I don't get it. I really just can't wrap my head around the world that we live in right now.
And part of that, we have no idea. Is this a middle school kid that doesn't want to take his math test, so he calls in or sends an email or leaves a post-it note somewhere? Or is this happening overseas? The FBI has actually said, we have suspicions and think that this may be orchestrated, not this one specifically, but this rash of hoaxes that's going on, that we think this is happening overseas, which makes it impossible to prosecute and catch.
We've done a lot of things different since I was in middle school. And yeah, there were middle schools when I was that young. We've changed a lot of things.
Not a single schoolhouse?
Yeah, there's no longer typewriters. Instead, you know, we send iPads and, you know, laptops home with the kids. You know, everything's online these days. You get the alerts to your cell phone. Parents, when I was in school, my parents didn't even know what we were up to. They didn't know how many times somebody was pulling the fire alarm and we were all heading out to the playground or the track and waiting there for the all clear to come back in. I don't even know if they had bomb sniffing dogs back then. But anyway, the one thing we haven't changed is how we respond to these threats. This is the same way we were doing things back when I was a kid, you know, and I'm late 50s. We do know that the district is holding a news conference though this afternoon. And of course, Jeff Kaplan's afternoon news will be bringing you the latest on what they decided to do. But they said something today, Dave, to our Peter Johnston regarding, I don't know, it just sounded like maybe there's a policy change in the works.
And as a school district, we're going to share our plans moving forward to keep kids in schools and...
Now, that sends a signal to me that maybe they're going to stop with this revolving door of evacuations.
This is a very good move to tell the parents, this is how we're moving forward. Mm-hmm. Sure, we're taking a little bit of a risk. We think it's a calculated risk. We don't think it really adds any danger to our kids. If you don't like it, at least you've been notified.
Well, I don't know for sure if that's what they're going to do, but let's talk about it. Do they keep evacuating or start ignoring? Dave and I face off next.
Dave and Dujanovic. Dave and Dujanovic.
Oh, what to do? Do you evacuate or do you ignore? And by ignore, I don't mean, you know, you never bring police in, but do you leave the kids in the classroom while the bomb-sniffing dogs roam around? So we go with 3 bomb threats, 3 evacuations in 2 weeks in the Nebo School District at the middle school there. Nebo District is holding a news conference, they said, this afternoon with cops. I guess they're going to discuss what sounds like to me maybe changes in the approach to these threats. We don't know for sure, but here's a little taste what we heard from the school district this morning.
And as a school district, we're going to share our plans moving forward to keep kids in schools. And
is it fair to say the current policy is cover your backside? Which is take every single threat as seriously as possible. Evacuate the kids. Call the cops. Bring in the bomb-sniffing dogs. You know, go door to door to door from classroom to classroom to make sure. Well, how comprehensive can a search be? You've got a huge school that fits 2,500 kids. How safe do you think are you feeling?
Oh, once they give you the all clear?
On this all clear. You're like, come on. You searched this entire school with 9 people.
Yeah, and one dog.
In 45 minutes? Come on.
And one dog.
One
cute dog. We haven't changed much in the way we do things in 50 years since I'm old. And I can see my younger self in middle school standing out in the middle of the high school track waiting for the all clear because somebody pulled the fire alarm and we got ushered out of the building. We didn't have email. We did not have email back in the day. So maybe that made, for not as many bomb threats. But this is really, I look at this as a scary game of odds in a lot of ways. We know there are thousands and thousands of bomb threats, yet I didn't even say this out loud, but when's the last time we saw one of these IEDs go off at a school? Rarely do the number of threats, match the actual incidents. So, and the people who are making these threats know this, right? And they're probably watching the television just to laugh and, see what became of their bomb threat. And in this case, a bunch of frustrated parents who are saying, the third bomb threat in 2 weeks, what a horrible world we live in. Well, I wonder if it's time to think differently about how we handle these. It's a scary thought because it's kids first. Of course, I love my kids. I wouldn't want them to, anything bad to happen to them. But you said earlier something that really hit me, Dave, which is maybe we're causing our kids a ton of trauma by doing this.
Remember, this is happening not just with bomb threats, but active shooter situations as well.
We'll get to that in a second. I want to break down some of the incidents that we've had around Utah, which just bear out that it happens over and over again. But I want to ask you what you think about that. I want you to elaborate more on that trauma component. What are you thinking when you say that?
Well, think about it. When you, and maybe it's different for high school kids, but let's think about the elementary school kids where you have 5-year-olds and 6-year-olds.
Oh, now my heart's breaking.
And now all of a sudden you're like, pull the fire alarm. Mm-hmm. It goes off. You're like hustling everybody out. If you genuinely believe it's a bomb threat and you are hustling everybody out and the rumors are flying, well, the 5 or 6-year-old probably doesn't realize this is probably just a big joke, right? They don't understand that. And you can see that would stick with somebody forever.
I love that you're thinking in that direction, because I think so often we just play into the get everybody out of the building. Yeah. And I understand. I get it. Here you are talking to the mom who, when Brighton High School put out word that there was an active shooter threat, and they had tamped down things within the, overnight, and let us know that they didn't think the threat was legit. But we woke up the next morning. Of course, my kids said, do we have to go to school? And I said, well, yes, get yourselves over there. I mean, I trust the decision makers at the school. Love the principal. Love the decisions that they're making. Get over there. And they went. All my 3 kids went. I gave them the mom look. I said, we're not going to be afraid of something that they've already said was a hoax. They get there. They call me. Like, there's nobody here.
We're the only ones in class.
Can we come home, please? They were, there's probably 1 or 2 other kids. The mom said the same thing. We're not going to keep bowing down to the fake, the hoaxes, the fear. We're going to live our lives. And what's happened is all these threats have created our have molded our lives to the point where our kids are starting to live in fear.
Yes. And it is much national attention as the active shooters get, or when some tragedy happens, I can kind of see where everyone is just hypersensitive about this. And we do want to err on the side of caution, but we also need to be able to decipher what is a serious threat or not.
Dave and I talking about just contemplating as parents, you ignore, do you evacuate on the heels of 3 bomb threats at one school. It's like a revolving door of evacuations there, and the same scene over and over and over again. Rinse, repeat, evacuate. Rinse, repeat, evacuate. Happening at Mountain Nebo Middle School. And they've kind of concluded that maybe there's been some controversy at the school. They don't know for sure, but perhaps that's what's creating these threats. We don't know who's doing it. Cops district holding a news conference this afternoon. But overall, we do know that we have been subjected across the state to a number of threats. You spoke with the one at SUU a couple of weeks ago. You and I did a brilliant job covering that hoax live on the air for 3 hours. But we also had a series of bomb threats in December that emptied out school buildings across Utah. And then remember, you and I were on the air last May, when active shooter hoaxes, not just in Utah, but really in several states, were emptying out school buildings all over Utah. Dan Roscona, KSL 5 TV, will take you back to May.
At Spanish Fork High School, worried parents met students at the football field. By this time, word had spread that it was all a hoax, but the trauma and emotion was still very fresh of what everyone experienced.
Yeah, it was very, very, very scary.
All of us start crying. We were like, this isn't real. It's pretty traumatic.
That was high school kids. Mm-hmm. 16, 17, mm-hmm. 18 years old, and they were traumatized by it. The younger you get, the more they don't understand that this is likely a hoax. This is the kind of thing that will stick with you forever. And when you see police coming in their SWAT gear, fully armed, guns raised, clearing room to room, we just need to take a breath and say, we could react and go nuclear on every single rumor. But that's not, I think, the right move. I think we've got to figure out what are some parameters and what's a reasonable response.
If you just Google bomb threats, which I did this morning, tons and tons of Google searches appear. I mean, it's just tons. It's loaded. And then, as I was coming on the air with Tim and Amanda at 8:15 this morning, I Googled it again, and I saw that India was evacuating 100 plus schools and thousands of kids because of what they had deemed possibly hoax bomb threats. It's happening all over the world for a whole host of different reasons. I've just gotten to the point where we need to really consider redoing some policies here. Or is that me just being crazy?
No, the Department of Justice produced a report. There's four things I want to share with you coming up in the next segment. Four things, and I thought, that's completely reasonable. If we're going to talk about criteria and when we should go threat level midnight, I thought these were very reasonable.
Okay, so you're going to check those four things off for us in about 4 minutes. Also love to take some phone calls and get parents to weigh in on this. If you're a teacher, you get bonus points. You get on the air, you get to the front of the line if you're a teacher. Or you work for a school district and you just want us to put your take on the air. We keep evacuating kids for threats, or do we just start ignoring the threats? 801-575-TALK, 801-575-TALK. Look forward to your live calls next.
Dave and Dejanovic, your morning companions for talk, analysis, and key perspectives on Utah's biggest stories on KSL News Radio.
I think it's fair at this point to go back in time just a couple of weeks, Dave, and talk about what led up or what preceded. What came before these series of bomb threats that emptied out Mount Nebo Middle School time and time and time again, three times in the last 2 weeks. And it's been alleged by Megyn Kelly. She's a former Fox News host and former NBC News host on Facebook. And it's since been fact-checked. And I also saw it. An excerpt of this on her podcast as well, talking about schools allow here's the quote, the claim on Facebook: school allows students to be terrorized by colleagues who identify as furries. And then this claim that Kelly made was fact checked, that the Utah Middle School was allowing students to be terrorized by furries. And I'm like, I'm not really familiar with this furry claim. I don't really know what this is all about, but apparently there are some students who participated in a walkout in mid-April, just a couple of weeks ago, at that same school, had made some unverified and disputed claims that other students, who they said were identifying as furries, had bitten or scratched them. And then the district had to absolutely put the brakes on this rumor that was circulating. And I think she also talked about it on her podcast and identified the school. that and the district spokesperson came out and said the school has absolutely no incidents of biting, licking, costumes, or animal behavior, and that the district had policies to prevent harassment and bullying. So it was fact-checked by the Poynter Institute. This claim was actually fact-checked by the Poynter Institute, and they said, we found no clear evidence that any students at the school identified as furries. And then come the series of bomb threats. So just kind of walking this back to maybe how this whole thing started, we don't know for sure. But my goodness, if every single time a school was talked about on a podcast or something that they did, and then it turned into a series of bomb threats, that sure starts costing taxpayers a lot of money. And I hope, you know, I don't know if Kelly's retracted that or not, or announced that the school has made, different claims.
KSL TV has done some good stuff. You can find it on their website where they talked to some families. They talked to one girl, and she and her friends would wear masks, but they were animal masks. And they said they were doing it for fun, or they thought it was cute.
They hadn't bitten or licked anybody?
But it does say in the KSL article I'm just reading right now that there was video that was being shared as quote-unquote proof of furries. Mm. Shows a girl in a yellow shirt barking at other students. So I don't know if it was one of those small little things that was blown out of proportion. Obviously, the Poynter Institute challenges, that it was that big of a problem that they were biting kids or biting classmates. Mm-hmm. But either way, what it has done is this political nature, this comment has led, it seems, to some almost bullying of this school. These bomb threats are coming in, and then the school goes into panic mode and they evacuate everyone and they call the cops and they come in and they start clearing rooms, trying to make sure everything's safe. Very disruptive. Very disruptive. And I think we need to re-examine, do we take every single threat as seriously as possible? Do we take it? Are we shutting down schools until we can do a thorough check every time?
This one stands out to me as an obvious. You have something go viral like that, like those claims, and then within very short order, you start getting bomb threats. So to me, this seems like it's obvious. They're just playing adults. They're playing whatever it is, the email system, the schools getting the emails, or even if the calls are coming into 911 or whatever the case may be, they're just playing adults. I wish we could think through this a little more clearly and say it's probably related to that. The problem is, Dave, we play the what if game all the time, and we lean into the, even though the odds don't have it that it's a real threat, we have just become accustomed to doing things the same way over and over again. So you and I started to examine, hey, is this a moment where we need to rethink all of these threats that are coming in? Because our kids could spend days out on the lawn waiting to get back in the school.
We take calculated risks all the time. Every time you get in a car, you are taking a risk. But we think that's worth it, right? I think this similar approach needs to happen with schools. We need to say, if we're going to evacuate and shut down the school or disrupt the school day, is this a credible threat? And I came across this report from the Department of Justice, and they were talking specifically about bomb threats and how seriously you should take them. And they said, in general, and this is not really surprising to anybody, but most bomb threats, the vast majority of bomb threats are just that. They're just hoaxes. But they said, we notice if there is a place and time specified, description of the bomb that is being used, specific targets, and a reason given, when those four criteria are met, that's where they say, this is one you need to take more seriously. Again, place and time, description of the bomb, specific targets, and a reason given.
Yeah. This listener on our text line says, it's traumatic for little kids. I worked in an elementary school and kiddos were panicked during the drills. My daughter said that she was at the Spanish Fork High during that active shooter, that hoax That was last May. So traumatic for all the kids. One kid didn't hear the lockdown, was going to do some work in the auditorium. He was taken down and searched by an armed policeman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So...
I don't think we can minimize that.
No, it's terrible. I mean, this allegation is a kid had a gun to his head until they realized the situation. Talk about trauma. We haven't verified that, but that's what one of our independently verified that, but that's one of our listeners just texted in.
And one thing that what we've learned is rumors start just running rampant.
Mm-hmm.
The one down in Spanish Fork, it's like, oh, yeah, we heard guns fired. We had a description of the quote-unquote suspect down at Southern Utah University where, like, long hair, green hat. Yeah, very specific thought that we heard shots fired in the mm-hmm. science building. All of these rumors were coming out, and the panic is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So how dangerous is that when a false suspect is out there? Who knows who's going to engage the random student that just was walking down the road?
You know what I hope? I hope that the you know, Payson Police Department and the Nebo School District develop some sort of a plan that throws, you know, our current situation and our current revolving door of evacuations on its ear. They start anew. And we hear something fresh and new and a new idea at 1 o'clock this afternoon when they hold that news conference. We know that Jeff Kaplan's afternoon news will be all over their announcement. But it sounds to me like they've given us a little bit of an indication that they're going to do things differently to keep kids in school. So good for them. I can't wait to hear what that is. We'll probably tackle that again tomorrow morning. Walmart shuttering its healthcare clinics everywhere. It's out of the healthcare business. I mean, you might be like, I didn't even know they had it. They were getting into the healthcare business, which I thought is great. Well, I'm disappointed with this move, and I'll tell you why next.